Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And then you've got Brian Kelly with the, he doesn't even respect the guys enough to like.
Stay for 15 minutes.
15 minutes. I've had longer conversations awkwardly with exes in public than that guy had. I'm going to try to open this podcast like a professional, but I still don't know what I'm doing. But here we go. Hello and welcome. To the podcast today. By the way, I have an introduction for LZ Granderson, which I think is comical at best, because first and foremost, he's my friend. Aww. And then we have not seen each other in like 2.5.
Pre-COVID?
Yeah. Like we're like one of those commercials where we need to reunite and cry. Well, we're going to get there someday, maybe. And your mom. But here's, you have the longest list of things. Contributor to ABC.
What are you talking about?
Shut up. Op-ed columnist, which I love at the LA Times because you literally get to write about anything and everything. Two podcasts. Is it just two now? I feel like it's seven.
It's just two. I am working another, but it is just two.
Okay, that's what I thought. And then, of course, you do everything, not just sports, all that. Welcome to the show, LZ Granderson.
It's so good to see you. I miss you so much. My mom made you mac and cheese, but I ate it.
My God. I mean, well, probably best you did. We attempted mac and cheese here, and I had to explain cultural differences between the mac and cheeses
that we're eating. Did they put peas or something in your mac and cheese?
Mayonnaise. No, but they did do a panko breadcrumb on top. Is that okay? They made it crusty. I feel like your mom would have killed us. She would have killed us.
She wouldn't have killed you. That's why we'll never show. She just would have talked about you once you left the house.
No, she has been blunt with me before and I almost cried a couple times.
All right,
let's get started because I feel like we can literally talk about anything, which Absolutely. Is the greatest freedom. And we have that freedom because you have also gotten your freedom recently. How's it feel to be on the other side, my friend?
You know what? And I don't mean this like in a mean way, but you know that story about how like an elephant like is so used to having like the shackle on his foot. And then you can take the shackle off and then it won't move because it just is so used to the shackle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the shackle. I'm not the elephant. I'm the shackle. No, it's great.
It's so weird.
It's been absolutely wonderful. And, you know, I'm not bitter at all about the ESPN thing. It was good for what it was when it was.
Sure.
But oh, God, yeah. At this point in my life, like I'm just so much freer and happier. And I'm trying to avoid not saying I wish I would have done this sooner. I'm just trying to live in a moment and accept that I've done it now.
You know why I won't say that?
Right.
Because I wouldn't have been able to buy houses if I would have done it sooner. Nope. So okay, you had to stay for as long as we stayed. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Financially, I mean, I paid for my son's education. He went to NYU. Shit's expensive. Can I say shit? Is there one of these podcasts I can do that?
I don't know. Try it.
All right. Shit's expensive. And so, it was great monetarily, but it was also great just in terms of experiences. And I got to like work in a lot of different places. Like it was really good for me while also sucking the life force out of my creativity.
Right. And I also think, and I'm grateful as hell because obviously you and I would have never become friends. Right. The people that we continue to communicate with are the ones that are our friends after the fact. I'm most grateful for that as well. Yeah. Because look, it was great. And that was the place to work for a really long time. And so I understand all that. But yeah, I'm grateful for 90% of everything that came out of that.
I'm a good 80%.
Fair. Oh, damn. Then I'm 75. Let's be honest.
I mean, if you really want to be honest, no.
No, I'm really, it's 13. It's 13%.
but to your point though, like last night I went to go hear Nicole Hannah Jones, who is the creator of the 1619 Project, give a talk.
Yeah.
And as I'm waiting for my Uber, and oh, by the way, getting Ubers in LA is like a living hell right now. I'm not sure what's going on. Maybe it's the gas prices.
Oh,
I don't know.
About that.
But it's impossible. So I'm standing there and who do I run into is Shantrae. She's like standing on the corner. And so I say, well, how much? And she's like, LZ. And I go, I'm sorry, you were in the corner. I don't know. And then
I love her.
And we caught up. So but much. Again, just another great person that I would have not have met had it not been for ESPN. So
that's what I'm grateful for.
Yes.
Probably the most or second most. That being said. Yeah, how is LA, by the way? Do we want to get this like mandatory LA talk really quickly out of the way, Lakers stuff, or you want to just sort of float over that?
It's entirely up to you. I'm at peace today. You know,
why today?
In 25 minutes, who knows where I'll be most emotionally. But like, it's really hard being a LA sports fan right now because I'm tired of fighting and defending. But I don't want to say, yeah, you're right either. So I'm in like this weird sort of place where it's like, fuck you, the Lakers are going to win a championship. They're 20 games behind first place. Yeah.
That's my question. That's my question for you. Okay, so if you don't know, and how could you not? It's literally on every outlet ever. But LeBron's got COVID.
Right.
He's going to be out for a while. Yada, yada. He's also missed a lot of games already. And the hole that they're digging is deep. And it is early in the season, but how deep can this hole get before this becomes an impossible dream for this Lakers, especially with the Golden States and the Phoenixes of the world doing what they're doing?
Well, it all depends upon whether or not you feel or they feel they need home court advantage first, right? I believe right now they're half game out of fourth, you know, so it's not as if even though they're barely over 500, once you remove the Phoenixes and the Golden State Warriors from the equation, everyone else is pretty much smashed together, right? So they're not completely out of even hosting one round or even two rounds, maybe. But that's not the goal, right? Like, this team wasn't put together to host a playoff series. This team didn't make all the trades and moves it did in the offseason so that one day it may host a playoff series. It wants to win the chip. And so you have to look at the small ball that Golden State Warriors and that the Phoenix Suns play and ask yourself, can this current construction keep up with that kind of small ball? And the answer is yes, but it's all contingent on one thing. And it's not LeBron James. It's Anthony Davis.
I mean,
Anthony Davis is so frustrating, Michelle, because there are moments in which you're like, oh my God, he's the greatest player to ever pick up a basketball. And then the next moment you're like, oh my gosh, he thinks he's 5'7".
And yes. Yeah. It's frustrating. You're like, if I was in that body, I would be banging around, crushing it. Like, I would never leave that spot. Like, crushing like
the
people.
The only threes or even deep perimeter shots I would take would be trailing off of broken fast break opportunities. I would never be taking three-pointers like during a half-court set. Like, never.
No, not when I look like that.
Not
no
when
way.
I look like that.
I get it. It's frustrating. And then when he goes up against a Giannis, you're just sort of like...
That was... that. So that game, honestly, I really turned off the television and was like in a deep, dark depression. Because
so dramatic.
Because, well, you can scheme a lot, right?
Right.
And you can make trades and you can adjust, you can fire a new coach. But what you can't do is have a heart transplant in the middle of a season. And
no, you cannot.
That was about heart. And Giannis came in and ripped his out in front of the nation. And there was literally nothing I could do to anyone who was texting me about, how's your Lakers now? What are you going to say about this? There was nothing because it was literally like watching a junior high kid get beat up by a college student.
It's unacceptable for who these people are. Like, who we're talking about? These two names.
No. Yes.
No.
But he
I love Giannis's confidence.
Oh, God. And he's cute. He's gotten cute now.
I mean, it's adorable. Yeah, so, well, winning does that, yeah.
So when he's confident and cute, it's like going, oh, you're such an adorable bully. Like, I can't even be mad at you.
He's a sweet young man who loves Oreos.
He's a sweet young man who loves Oreos and wants to rip your heart out.
Yeah, I know. I love that so much. But he does it with a smile, and honestly, those are my favorite villains because they're the scariest.
Exactly.
Ted Bundy being
you think for a second you're different.
Right. And you're not.
And you're not.
Because the smile's for everyone. So I feel good. We got our Lakers talk out.
So
that's like a flashback.
Long story short, if LeBron is healthy, if Westbrook is healthy, I like our chances. And if AD shows up and shows up on a consistent basis, I still think we have a very good chance of beating the Warriors or the Suns in a 7-game series. But the ifs.
I feel like this is a bet.
There's a lot of ifs that I have to count. You know what I'm saying? That's a lot that has to go right.
Yeah, that's a zero. I'm giving you a 0% chance that any of that happens.
I'll see you in June.
That there's, yeah. I'll probably. Yeah,
I mean, LeBron's going to be fine.
Finals for a sports bar somewhere. Yeah, may or may not. But like, even if he is, I at some point that well will run dry. You cannot just put everything on that dude's shoulders. You just can't. Like it's especially when you have those names on the roster behind him. Like it's
but he, the way he plays the game, and I know we don't want to make this all about the Lakers though. But the way that LeBron
I am stabbing my thigh under the table. So we're good.
I'll just say this last little thing and then I'll stop. The thing that's different about LeBron, and it's different than any other perimeter player who's played a long period of time, is that he does not put a lot of contortion or pressure on his joints and ligaments. He's not trying to outmaneuver you. He's not moving side to side. He's going through you. And because of that, he's able to preserve his body differently than when Kobe or Michael or any other great perimeter player, Magic, like we saw them age because of the extra pressure that they're putting on their bodies. When you watch LeBron James, he ain't trying to cross you up. He ain't doing all that dribbling and shit, trying to, you know, make you miss him. And no, he's not and-one-ing you. He is simply saying, I'm going this direction. You can come with me or not.
Right. And you watch the game evolve for him, which is kind of, sometimes it's frustrating when he starts just making shots. I'm like, I don't like that. I don't like seeing that at all.
Yeah, and that 3-point shot. He's.
That one hurts. I'm like, God, I hate.
And now he's putting him up from half court. I'm like going, what? Just because Steph does it doesn't mean I can't.
I know. I mean, it is fun to watch Steph do it. It is so much fun. I'm so happy that like that's happening. I want to change the subject to something more cheerful and fun. College football coaches. What?
Did you know that you could like
did
offer
I know what?
Houseboats?
That it was corrupt? So this is the most I've ever had in a contract negotiation, right? I think it was something like they would help you like sell your home. They would help you sell your home.
Right.
Not buy it
for a profit.
And then there was like, there was some sort of writing in there that was like just helping kind of thing. Not the stuff that I've been reading, a $6 million house. It's just when I think I'm like, oh, you know what? Maybe I will start to watch college football again with like a happy heart. And then the last 4 days go by and I'm just like, I remember. This is why I hate it. It feels so dirty and disgusting. And we're not even just talking about the money. Cause for me, I'm like, oh, you know what? I've accepted the monopoly money of it all. It's crazy to talk about. It's like normal people like us winning a lottery overnight. They just, everything's changed. But for me, I want to talk about specifically the shadiness. I think somebody called it the smarminess of it all. Like the Lincoln Riley leaving OU, going to USC and immediately talking about how that's going to be the mecca of football. And then one of his OU players being like, well, he just told us that yesterday. And then you've got Brian Kelly with he doesn't even respect the guys enough to like.
Stay for 15 minutes.
15 minutes. I've had longer conversations awkwardly with exes in public than that guy had with a group of young men that he said he loved and was going to mentor and, you know, be a father figure, whatever hell he lied. What do we do with that? Because for me, this is the thing that always keeps me away from the college athletics of it all. This makes me feel gross. And I feel for those kids because the whole thing feels wrong.
Well, I have a couple of thoughts. Thought number one.
Okay.
If you honestly believe in this day and age that the coach that recruited you and is going to be with you for 4 years is going to stay true to his word, then you should have the wool pull over your eyes. Like
some people aren't paying attention.
I mean, it just is what it is. Like, this isn't a new phenomenon. This has been going on literally for decades. I mean, Rick Pitino wrote the book on see ya.
Yep. Yeah.
So if
and by the way, that's fine.
And it's fine.
Fine.
And it's fine.
Yeah.
So if you're a college student and this happens and you didn't see it coming or you were heartbroken or you're like, how could you? And it's like going, well, how are you not paying attention? Like, this was always a potential because this has always been a potential. That's one.
Right.
Okay, two,
fair.
When it comes to the NCAA, which is a mafia,
not as cool.
Not as cool. You don't have hit TV shows. You're just a mafia
for no
reason.
Yeah, I don't
read
books about the NCAA. Yeah, like I'm not obsessed with movies about the NCAA.
You don't want to see like the Saints of the NCAA?
you don't want to do that? It's like 5 hours long. Ooh.
Just to go,
so
and that's how I became Tony Soprano.
Oh yeah, I'm going to talk about that. Good Lord. Like, okay, so all right, NCAA, which is always I can't with that. That no, I meet that with a chuckle. NCAA is an automatic chuckle for me.
It is a chuckle,
not a sign of respect.
But the idea that it still has any sort of control between, you know, the Supreme Court decision, boosters, and agents, like, it no longer is in control. It's like riding a wild horse, pretending as if it's the jockey, when really it's just a flea, like a tick, like with the big hat. So there is a wild, wild west aspect to what's happening now that is really more free market than it's ever been in college sports. Because students not going to make money using their image. College coaches are no longer pretending.
I want to talk to two women. The two women, I just, when you said students making money, I'm like, I got some faces coming out yesterday.
There you go.
But yeah.
College coaches are no longer pretending as if, you know, the universities that they're teaching at or happen to be coaching at is where they want to spend the rest of their lives. And it's being a lot more forthright and a lot more honest. And while I might be mourning the loss of what I grew up with, I'm also accepting the fact that what I grew up with wasn't real anyway. And that what I'm actually confronting is the truth that's always been there. It just had better PR.
Okay. No, so I buy all this.
There are giraffes behind you, by the way. Why are there giraffes behind you? I know.
That's if I go big buck hunting in Africa. Those are game trophies. By the way, you know me. I wouldn't hurt an animal for all the money in the world. But I'm obsessed with this game. And I'm good at it.
Oh, you're in India.
This is where I nerd out. I nerd out on this. So here's my sort of, I guess, analogy to that, right? So and I'm with you on all that. But it's almost like saying when your girlfriend or your guy friend comes to you and whines and cries about their partner who they found out lied to them and wasn't genuine and they've been saying that to other people and blah, blah, blah. We're always just like, you know, that sucks and you should have known. But at the same time, we're thinking to ourselves, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better human being. There's got to be a better version of partnerships. And so for me, I think, sure, this is the reality of what it all is. But it still feels dirty in the sense that I don't think the coaches are forthcoming and I don't think that they're 100% transparent. It would all, and I know that it's a weird double-edged sword because on the one hand, you can't be a motivator and a coach and a leader, but also end every sentence with, but remember guys, I also might leave. So like, but it's just, it feels like it's just hard. And we're
by the
also
way, that's
asking,
literally,
you know,
how Steve and I kiss each other in the morning before we part.
Oh, don't get me started.
Very much.
I've learned a lot about
by the
myself.
Way, I may not come back home.
I know. That's my go-to. I'm learning a lot in my relationship that like my go-to is like, well, then it's over. It doesn't matter. What, it's any little fight that it's over, which I'm like, okay, Michelle, that you need to work on that. So in this case, but we're also, you know, we're in our 40s. Like we know that the world is jaded. We're jaded. The world's corrupt. The world lies. All of those good things. These are still, at the end of the day, most part, children. And we're wanting them. Yeah, they're growing up, but it's, I don't know. It just feels
but they're growing up
faster. It just
faster.
Feels like two standards.
They're growing up faster. You know, it's, they aren't kids the way we were kids. You know?
No, God, no. Never have been.
Never have been. I mean, they're growing up in a world. I mean, think about the tragedy that just happened this week with the school shootings. Like,
absolutely.
This is their world. There are people who are in college who've only known gun violence in school.
Right. Like, whereas, they prep for that, the way we prep for a fire drill.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like,
so
worst case.
The world that they are encountering is just simply different than the world that we encountered. And thus, their maturation, for better or for worse, has to be expedited. And so, yeah, I wish that what Tim Tebow said on the microphone when he was at Florida made sense. But it didn't. He was stupid.
Wait, what did he say?
Yeah, he was all like, oh, Florida forever! Blah, 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 blah. You know, and then, and now as an adult, he's all like, I wouldn't have changed a thing. I wouldn't have want the money. Blah, blah. It's like, shut the fuck up, man. Stop.
I would have changed everything. Okay, wait. So this being, so we've seen, like, Brady Quinn came out today, I think. He called Brian
Kelly's
last, Liz, yada, yada. Well, that would be that's a whole new, but he dresses fabulously. Best dress, I think, on the air. So if we don't love it, right? If every time we go through this, which is every season, and a big name wants to leave, and several did this time, what would be, like, in our perfect scenario, what would be the way a Brian Kelly could have handled this? That we would have all been like, we get it. That's the best that you could have done. Well done. Good luck on your next venture. Like, Is there a way that he could have done it differently? Because I feel like there has to be a thousand different ways.
There isn't a way in which someone doesn't get screwed. Because here are the different possibilities. You announce a year ahead that you're planning on retiring or leaving or whatever. Well, all of a sudden now your recruiting class is fucked for the university, right? So that's not good for the school. You announce that you're leaving at the end of the year, all right? Well, that still messes up your recruiting class. And oh, by the way, not just your recruiting class, but also messes up your assistant coaches who may not have enough time to look for new jobs if they can't come with you.
Right.
Or you could say what he did, which is kind of like leave at like this really weird time when you're 11-1 and has a chance to win a national championship.
Right.
But
that's weird.
Like there is no perfect time to say goodbye because of the way that college sports in general is constructed is that you're always replenishing. And in order to replenish, you have to have people who are coming in assume that you're going to be there. And as soon as you say you're not going to be there, your ability to replenish is undermined. So unless you are leaving and the school automatically has an assistant coach being elevated at the exact same time and they can tell recruits nothing's going to change. And even with that, if I'm being recruited by Nick Saban and then I'm thinking I'm going to play for Saban and then you want to tell me, Alabama, that no, we have Draben instead. Nick's leaving. So you'll be playing
Schmick
for
Schraben. It's going to be great.
Like, I'm not going to Alabama. So, I mean.
No.
So there isn't a perfect time. It's like, you know, back to our joke, breaking up with someone. When is the right time to break up? Is it breakfast?
I think in a restaurant, publicly with a post-it, that you leave when you go to the restroom, but actually leave the restaurant. But you know what? You pick up the bill and that's class.
That is class. That's class.
It's like, that's the difference between me and Brian Kelly. I have class.
At least he showed up. You know, at least he actually went there.
I mean,
there.
He was on his way to somewhere else.
He was on his way to the airport. Yeah, hey, I left totally my briefcase and I think the kids are still there.
Yeah, if you could just come by the, hang out in that room for, like, so then the other part of this specifically with Notre Dame is now we've got this situation where it's fluid, but we'll see what happens. That they could potentially be punished or penalized for not having a coach in place as we move forward towards, you know, end of season fun.
Right.
That, do we riot? Like, what do we do if, in fact, that does happen? Because for me, it's twofold. Number one, the arrogance to assume that the coach is such a vital part of what these kids have been working so hard for years in some cases, that they wouldn't be able to go out there and play for an assistant coach or interim or what have you. That is a monster arrogance that turns me off from all of it. And number two, we're living in a day and age of COVID where any of these teams could be without a coach literally the night before the game.
Right.
So I would assume, I'm giving them too much credit that the committee will do the right thing. And that's why I think this is an actual conversation, because most of us are like, this actually could happen. What do we do? Do we riot?
I mean, all four schools that are in the postseason,
everyone
could you know, potentially be without their head coach. We don't know what we're doing. You know, we got
the that's the end of the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's been great.
I mean, because it's such a moving target, right? Like we have the new Optimus Prime variant, and we don't know, you know, how long it's going to like. You know,
forever.
Be a question mark. We don't know if it's actually going to prove itself to be deadlier or nothingier. Right. I don't know if nothingier is a word, but that's what I just said. That's, like, that's so we're trying to have this conversation about college football coaches, the carousel, the playoffs, and oh, by the way, the virus that derailed the entire globe supply chain has a new variant that's barreling down the pathway and we don't know what it's going to do. We're just trying to make it to January. So we're making all of this up.
So all of it up and now, but we're, I feel like that the, you know, Notre Dame's probably like sitting here going, you gotta be kidding me. Is this really something we have to take into consideration? And like, I don't know. I'm living a world. I'm a person who doesn't like to use the word, you know, not and fair together because I think you sound like a child when you say it. But this is about as close to a not fair situation as I think you can get. Like, it's just silly. It's silly, stupid. And if they do the wrong thing, it's just, my God. It'll be a time where I'm glad you and I aren't doing daily sports television.
Oh my gosh. Because we'll be forced to have to be outraged. And what kind of t-shirt would I wear for that?
I don't know. It's all Ted Lasso all the time at this point. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I'm over Ted Lasso and his toxic positivity.
Oh, I was never I was never in it for Ted Lasso. I was only in it for Roy Kent.
For Roy?
We're going to finish out this. We're going to finish this part of the show, whatever this is, because King Richard is a movie that you wrote about, a whole column. And I know you love tennis. So I obviously, why, for someone like me who's like, I love Will Smith and I know who they are and I feel like I know the whole story, why should I watch this movie?
Because you don't know the whole story. I'm someone who has followed the Williams sisters their entire career. I'm someone who has written about them, followed them, spoken to the parents, spoken to the agent. Shout out to you, Jill, in case you're listening. Like, for years, like north of 10 years. And there were still things in that film I was like, damn, I didn't know that.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
How is that even possible? Yes. At this
on top
point
of the
again.
Fact that, and I know you are a, you know, connoisseur of film and you love great thespians. You know, who always get left out of the LGBTQ conversation. Thespians is a thing.
I'm not making any jokes here because I just got back to working.
Don't want to Chappelle yourself too quickly.
Just getting back into it. But I'll get there eventually. Don't worry.
Don't worry. I'll give you two more weeks and then you can just go in and have all the jokes
I know,
you want.
Right? Now I get a little too comfortable. Whoopsie. And we're back.
Oh, damn it. The performances of Will Smith, as well as actually the performances in general. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if this film was nominated for a SAG Award for, like, ensemble performance. Really? They're really good together. The chemistry, the tension. I thought the direction had a really good, sensible hand. It resisted the temptation to be syrupy in tender moments. So it had the tender moments, but it never got so sappy that you were just like, oh, okay, that's enough. It was...
They didn't rue to you?
Oh, my gosh.
Then they rue to you,
you know,
it's over.
Even like the grandiose speeches, you know, there's always got to be a grandiose speech about, you can do it, you little black girl. And he has one of those moments. But the way he does it, and the way that it's scripted, and the way that it's shot, and once you follow the journey this far, when he gives that speech, you go, well, yeah! Even though you already know she did it.
Really?
Like it's a...
Now I feel like I have to
watch it. It's a prequel, and you're still acting as if the shit's unfolding in real time.
What's going to happen?
It's like,
next?
Oh my God, will Luke really be a Jedi? I don't know.
Are they going to be good at tennis?
I sure hope so, because if not,
I don't know.
Oh boy.
Time will tell. Well, God, you almost talked me into it. I don't know. I got to finish a lot of great British baking shows.
Oh, those are
so
good.
I think I can fit it in. Don't get me started, Paul Hollywood.
But look, can I ask you something, though? Have you been to a bakery in the UK that actually offers those baked goods? Because I haven't.
I have not. I have not. I don't remember eating any baked goods. Really?
I was like.
Like, they confused me with Paris. I'm like,
Paris
baby.
Yes. I said that. I was like going, now I've been to London, I don't know, 15, 20 times. I ain't never seen these baked goods in the streets. Never.
Never. I never have. I think I saw the last time I was there for a while and I did walk every day by a bakery, but it was all like macarons. It wasn't like, you know, any of the other 800 things. I love that show
so good.
Much. I love it so much. I don't make any of it. I'm just obsessed with the show and I never thought I would be. I'm basic AF. I guess
very, very basic. But trust me, I think you would really enjoy King Richard. It surprised me too. I watched it because I felt I had to because, you know, I'm black and shit. But it turned out that it's...
Yeah, and you love tennis. Like, it's made for you.
But it's actually just a good film. And, oh, by the way, as a sports movie, and I've seen, you know, 1,000 of them. I even screened the new Kurt Warner film that's coming out later this month around Christmas time. The actual tennis, the actual playing of the sport is pretty spot on.
Right. I didn't even think about that.
Not once did I look at them playing tennis on the court going, and you're an actor with a tennis racket. No. I found myself asking, are they tennis players who learn how to act?
I like when that happens. I do that a lot, too. Like with Cobra Kai, I always end up going down the rabbit hole of the actors. I'm like, did you have that background first or the acting background first? And a few of them were martial arts people before they even decided to act. So I don't know why that makes me so happy when I think about it. All right, we're taking a quick break or whatever the podcast world does. It's a kind of a break sort of thing. And then we'll be right back because I want to play a little little game with you. Sports Nation stuff.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh, we're back. Wow, look at that. We are back.
Boy.
You just heard, I know, the words they heard, awesome, obviously. This is, we're going to do a little, we're taking your tweets. Don't you like the when it starts that way, we're taking your tweets.
Oh, my own mean tweets?
Okay. Yeah, no, but they're not mean. Well, no, they're not mean. No, you're not even that mean. You're like way more positive than I am. Oh. We're going to call it explain yourself because that's really all I want you to do on some of these. And I think some are self-explanatory. I just want to talk about it.
Okay.
So are you ready?
I think so.
This one is just a foreshadowing. This was back in September. Maybe this, all caps yelling at us, is the sign that Harbaugh's Wolverines will finally beat Ohio State. How did you know? How? And did you bet on it?
I did not bet on it. In fact, on my podcast the week before, I was lamenting that once again, Michigan was going to get embarrassed in front of the nation because Ohio State had just went up like 50-0 against Michigan State at halftime.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And of course, Michigan State beat Michigan. So I'm like going, well, you know, if I do the math right, it looks like an L to me. I was shocked. I think everyone was shocked.
Everyone, seemingly so, from the reaction.
I think the students ran on the field because they wanted to make sure that it was actually a field and not like the Matrix.
They're like, wait. Oh, I can't wait for that too, by the way. Yeah, no, it was a scene. We've seen that type of scene a lot of times. Maybe it's because of the time we're living in or what have you, but that was an insane scene to watch unfold for a million different reasons. Happy, paranoid, anxious, all of those things. But like, yeah, I'm kind of bummed you didn't bet on it. You got to stick with that.
You know, I don't bet on games.
I know,
especially
but we should.
College games, because right. I had a son who was in college and I wouldn't trust him to do shit right. Why would I spend money on strangers?
Fair.
On some strangers' kids, but I wouldn't spend money on my own.
I thought we put all the money in the coach. Isn't that what we're watching for?
They're
paid. I thought we were only watching for the coaches.
Power to the khaki.
All right, here we go. This is not that old.
Okay.
Actually, it's really old. It's 2015. God, I can't believe we can still look up our tweets from that long ago. It bothers me that no male athlete has come close to Djokovic, and U.S. media will pretty much ignore him for year-end awards. Do you still feel that way? Is that still
absolutely.
True?
Absolutely. Novak Djokovic, and everyone I think knows Federer, right?
Yeah,
and a lot of people know Nadal, and those mm-hmm. two have been in the conversation for greatest of all time for, you know, for a number of years now. No one really knows Novak Djokovic. And
what do you mean we don't know him?
Because he's not as beloved as first.
So I don't think he's liked very much.
Well, that's, and you know, some of it's his own doing. And some of it's that he keeps beating Rafa and Federer.
Fair.
So it's that combination. But the bigger part of that tweet is about us in the U.S. media and how we think we start the conversation of global sports through a domestic lens. And that's why we always miss on cricket and rugby and, of course, soccer or football, if you will. F1, which, of course, is your new passion. But we don't talk about those sports. We don't have those sports on our airwaves. And thus, those athletes don't exist for us in these year-end conversations. And when we present our list, they are very domestically driven. And that is really the most American thing ever. You know, thinking...
It reminds me of... It reminds me of the red carpet moment. I don't know who the poor girl was that did it, but it was the cast of Squid Game was coming through, and she was like, are you surprised by how much popularity and fame you're getting? Meanwhile, these people are all stars.
Right.
Like they have been for quite some time.
For quite some time.
But we just discovered them, so we're like, well, it must have just
Well,
happened.
That's what I mean. It's the most American the thing ever. Like we take this really American is. Exceptionalism thing too far, and we conflate American exceptionalism with American ignorance.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I'll give you that.
It's like, no, we're not.
But you know what? How much of it is he's not likable, right? Like, I mean, I do think sometimes, I'm not speaking for everyone else, but like,
but Johnny Mac wasn't
like
liked.
Me, I'm very aware.
Johnny Mac wasn't liked, and yet we know exactly who he is.
And he's turned himself into quite the, yeah, he's
right.
He's media friendly now.
I mean, like, Novak Djokovic has had a stretch. I think this is the second time he had an opportunity to win all four majors in the same year.
Right.
Like he is by far the greatest tennis player in the history of the sport. And it's not like we don't appreciate tennis, right? Like we appreciate tennis in this country, but because he's not American, we don't appreciate him. And so we're going to do this year-end list where we pretend as if the NFL is, you know, the global sport of the, you know, that, and their athletes matter most.
Hey, there are two games in London every year.
That is true. That's true. Okay. So it's an international sport. And huge air quotes.
Huge.
Huge. Huge.
That's fair. I'll give you that. I mean, I do. I know we do that. But I also sometimes wonder, like, when it comes to these types of discussions, like how much the likability also plays into account of 1,000,000,000%, recognize
them. Especially for him. Though, you know, Federer was basically ignored in the year in conversations, too. Like, he was never, like, Sports Illustrated Man of the Year. He was never Man of the Year for Sports Illustrated. And
I don't think he ever offended anybody. Ever.
No.
Right?
And he speaks everyone's language.
Switzerland, for God's sakes.
I think like
everyone's language. That's such a turn on.
I think he went through a 2-year stretch beats where he lost like maybe a total of 7 matches across 2 years.
I mean, yeah, that's.
And we were just like going, yay, you get an ESPY. But only in tennis.
which is what everyone covets, really, at the end of the day. This one's Thanksgiving, and this one's just close to my heart because it's a picture of your mom.
Aw.
Happy Thanksgiving. From my chef to yours. Now, I have had the pleasure of enjoying Thanksgiving meals with you guys, but did you cook anything? Did you do anything?
Did I do anything? Let me think.
Yeah, what did you make?
Nothing
this
year.
Or did you do it all, except for Mac? What?
I made nothing this year, and this is why. So, originally, I was supposed to be in charge of smoking the ham. I'm now a smoke master.
As one is, yeah, sure. Okay. Go on.
But as soon as Isaiah said he was coming home for Thanksgiving, I was kicked out of the kitchen and Mama took over because she had to cook for her baby.
That's fair. Wait, so she made everything?
So she made everything. She started on Tuesday. God. So I picked Isaiah up from the airport. He got in like around midnight or so. We get back. There's pots and pans everywhere already.
Love this.
And he's like, he's like, like Grams is throwing down. I was like, she's throwing down, throwing up, throwing side to side. So you better eat every single morsel.
Seriously, that is a lot of cooking. The thing I will always remember about your mom at my house is one day she goes, it was for Thanksgiving, and she says, she looked at me and she goes, you look like you've put on a little weight. You look healthy. And at that time, I was working out like a mad person and I'd actually lost a little weight. And I just remember going, yeah, I guess so. Can I have more wine, please?
I've tried for 40 plus years to get her just to understand the basic tenets of human decency.
No, man,
you do not go into a woman's house and let the first words be, hey, fat ass.
While I'm feeling good about myself.
Why
are
you feeling good about yourself? Which, oh, by the way, thank God you were feeling good about yourself, because if you were already in that space, she would have just pushed you off the cliff.
Oh, I would have just taken a knife and gone outside. That's fine. This one is like deep, I think. Thinking about all the messages from people claiming not to care what others do with their lives, yet they follow thousands on Instagram and Twitter. I feel like I agree with you on this one, right? Do I?
Yes, of course you do. Because if you don't really care what other people are doing with their lives, then why are you following them and living vicariously through their pictures?
Because we live in the worst of times. That's why. We live in the worst of times. The dumbest of times, the most narcissistic of times. If I see one more like mom lip syncing a stupid song with a filter. I'm like, and not because the filter, I don't really care about that. It's that stump that everyone does the same thing, the same dances, the same lip sync songs. I feel like I'm living in a stupid bubble like every day. And then I find myself looking at it, then I'm mad at myself. It's like,
I keep going back and forth, right? So like I went through a stretch where I was posting my videos from when I was working out in my gym. And you know me.
Right. I remember that. I was like, oh.
I'm always working out in my gym. So it's not like I just started. It's just, but I just started doing the video clips because I was starting a new podcast and I was trying to make sure that we had content in case we went to like Peloton and said, hey, get into this podcast. And oh, by the way, I'm into working out. So I was doing that for that purpose. And then the second purpose was once I started posting those videos, people were saying, well, hey, how do you do this? How do you do that? So then I posted more videos and was talking with them back and forth. And I found myself being like this like sort of pseudo fitness person for like a little bit.
Influencer.
I was influencing people. Yes.
You were influencing people.
But then the DMs were getting like really ridiculous. And I was like,
oh, no.
Okay, I don't know if this is doing what I wanted to do. Because I'm getting pictures of like penises.
No, nobody.
And not nice ones either.
By the way, nobody likes that.
Like,
no.
Like dusty.
That's the problem with those things.
Small.
Yes.
I was like,
you know what
the problem
with those stupid things are? No, every owner of one of those thinks that theirs is the best and that they should be shared with the world. And I'm here to tell you, incorrect. So this is the last tweet, by the way. And it was, you said you could only save three shows from this graphic. Beep, boop, 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 boop. And you went Wire, cool. Breaking Bad, cool. And then you went Game of Thrones.
I did.
Not Sopranos, which some have argued is the best show of all time. I did watch Prison Break, actually. Sons of Anarchy, Ozark. Really? Can we talk about, because Game of Thrones last season, that was it. I was out. Yeah, I made it all the way to the
listen,
end.
I consider it the Michael Jordan Wizard years. They were there, but when you think of Game of Thrones, you really think those last two seasons?
Yeah. You know me. I hold grudges for life.
But you're holding a grudge.
I'm holding a grudge against those guys. Like, I'll never watch what they do next because I think that, like a college coach, they got their next offer. They had mentally already moved on, and they mailed in that final season. It was like, tie up the loose ends, well, and we're done.
When the Ravens started delivering messages, like Instagram, it used to take Ravens like a whole season to get and deliver messages, and then all of a sudden it was like, send the Raven. And then the Raven's like, here he is.
We got to hurry. We got like 20 more minutes in this whole damn series.
I'm so angry. You know when I was over it, when I knew we were in trouble, is when they went to go chase the walkers, the White Walkers.
Yeah.
And I think Jon Snow.
And you rooted for the walkers?
Toad, or the walker. And I think Jon Snow Toad. He had Toad, like, I forgot which one of the younger, like, fighters go back and get help. And, like, he ran all the way. It took them, like, half the season to find them.
I know.
And he was able to run all the way back to the wall to get help within the episode. And I was like,
it makes no sense.
What the fuck is going on? But even with all of that. Even with all of that, I still have that show because for a while, for a long, long stretch, it was the most brilliant thing on television.
And I mean, it was uniting a country.
It was uniting a country. So, listen, Michael Jackson had, like, what, Invincible? Like, one of his last albums. It wasn't great.
Yeah.
Right? Does that mean Thriller sucked?
No, absolutely not.
Did it mean off the Wall didn't happen?
It doesn't, but like I feel like a series is such a self-contained thing to be judged. Like I think The Sopranos was good throughout, and I recently rewatched it. And by the way, the movie that they did was, in my opinion, not great. But the series, even rewatching it, I was like, this was a damn good series.
It was a damn good series.
It really was. Stands the test.
I guess I just stopped caring who lived or died. And I never stopped caring who lived and died in Game of Thrones.
That's fair. I will give you that. When you stop caring or you actually root for deaths, which I find myself doing a lot lately, that's when you know, like, maybe the short. Maybe I'm done with that. Okay, so I haven't even paid attention to the time, and I think we've been on here for 6 hours. Uh-oh. We're going to do another one of those breaks. But when we come back, I just have one more question for you. I promise.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
We're back. We're going to wrap things up. This has been my pleasure. I don't want to say it's my favorite because that's just rude, right? But
no, it's true.
No, I know. I missed you so much. And I'm so happy we got to actually do something together again. This I have to ask you. I've always wanted to ask this. Where can people find you?
Where do people find me? Well, right now I'm on the 8th floor of my hotel room.
Stupid. No, all your millions of things. All of them.
So, Los Angeles Times. I'm a columnist there. Really loving Huge. It. I've had the craziest year. Can I tell you how crazy this year has been?
Please, yes.
I've won maybe 7 awards this year, including an Emmy.
What? That's crazy.
This morning I wake up, my producer from one of my podcasts says, Spotify just said your podcast is one of the top new podcasts of 2021. Like, it's been such an amazing year.
I love this.
And yet so weird. And Chelsea Handler tweeted something when she got a Grammy nomination. She said she's peaking at 43. And I was like, I don't know if I'm peaking at 43 or what, but I certainly have hit a nice stride that coincidentally coincided with me deciding to leave ESPN. And again, no shame at ESPN, but I think it just allowed me to kind of just be more of myself.
No, without you got to do you.
I got to do me.
Like 100. Yeah.
And so it's been cool.
Which is
so
lovely.
LA Times has been fantastic. It's been an incredible award-winning season, blah, 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 blah. I have a podcast for ABC News called Life Out Loud that is LGBTQ-focused. I have a sports podcast. We're competitors for the recount called The Long Game. Yeah. We're not really competitors, but, you know, whatever.
No, we're not.
And I still work for ABC News, you know, talking about, you know, white people killing black people and being angry on television.
Yeah, see, that's the part I do not miss any of that, by the way. Like, I it's been nice to be semi-retired because I was here instead of here and here. It's just right. I guess it's like being stoned all the time. I was just here.
It's like, it bro. Can, it, I will say, I, as I was, you know, I was telling you that Nicole Hannah-Jones gave this talk. And I believe Kevin Merida, who's formerly of The Undefeated with ESPN. And
shout
now
out.
Is the Shout out. And it's now at the LA Times. Whoop, whoop, whoop. He asked her about mental health and taking care of herself. And she gave an answer that I identify with and also cried as I was listening to her because I so knew where she was. And where she was like, I don't really have time to take mental health days. So I just drink bourbon and keep going.
Oh, God.
I know.
And I think that's most people.
It is most
Also, most people.
People
don't know they're having a mental health day. They just think it's life. That's life.
Right.
That's how it is.
That's
life
just
sucks,
how it is.
Whatever.
And I'm really glad that you took time down from like the high, you know, wire life that you were living. And now that you're chilling and you're killing giraffes in India and stuff like that because.
I mean, I peaked at 33. I'm good with it. I invested well.
But mental health is so important and you look so happy. I can see the glow coming from you.
I just had a facial. I'm so proud of you. And I watch you. I remember even during the beginning of when you started to do everything, I was like, damn, am I supposed to be, why is he doing so much? Like, am I supposed to be doing something? I was like, nah, I'm just going to sit here and watch another movie. And it was just, I'm so proud. I'm so happy to even see your face, even if it is through this computer. And I cannot wait until we can actually like, well, you'll hug me and I'll go like this.
You'll do that limp, like wet noodle thing you do all the time.
It's called a beetle hug. Thank you very much. It runs in the family. Oh, for this podcast, by the way, I guess I have to say this every time. Rate, review, do those things, tweet us, whatever. But more importantly, LZ, I love you.
Love you too,
Beats. Thank you for doing this.